Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, Mama T, Throat Chakra Shaman, woman of many names. But let me tell you, when it comes to the second Sunday at 6, when we serve up some mind, body, and soul food, you can call me anything you want. Anything you want, because it's not about me. It is about our fabulous guests who come on. And let me tell you, they dish up some divinely delicious consciousness-raising creations to feed your mind, body, and soul. Before I go much further, I just want to give a shout-out to Gay Adegbolola out of Fredericksburg, Virginia, formerly of Sapphire, the Uppity Blues Women, who wrote Hungry Woman Blues. And I just love coming into that. She gets me in the mood. And no matter how tired I might feel, you know, going through the weekend, when I hear that song, it's like I'm like Pavlov's dog. It triggers a response, and I'm ready. I am so ready. So tonight we are going to dish up some more juicy, delicious stuff that we started last month, and I'll get to that in a moment. But I just wanted to share a little bit about me before we get to our guests, because we have a cue. We have a cue again. And we went off the air last month. I mean, there was no closing. There was no ending song. There was no cutesy little capstone. I mean, we just went off the air because our guest was working hard. And the callers just would stop. So she graciously agreed to come back this month. But anyhow, I will briefly tell you about me and what I'm up to so we can turn things over to our programming. So I have been, the term that just came up for me is I have served up mind, body, and soul food for, since the last century. And it's been known as many different names, but currently its incarnation is mind, body, and soul food, not just the radio show, but my business, my ministry. It's run from counseling to coaching, cooking to community capacity building, meditation to massaging, Reiki to writing and retreat. And also, of course, this amazing radio show, which next month will have its 8th birthday. Woohoo! That is so exciting. So if you don't know about Mind, Body, and Soul Food, check us out. All of our shows for the past 8 years are archived, and you can just listen on demand. And now there are even more shows to listen to because as of this year, my cousin, who happens to be my soror, my soul sister, she's a medium, she's a spiritualist, Khadijah 7, is now hosting under the Mind, Body, and Soul Food Radio umbrella on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. Her show is a wonderful approach. It's the same length, the same number, the same great energy with powerful insights and sharing. And just to give you a heads up, she is going to be on my show next month, July 8th, the second Sunday at 6. And so I'll be traveling back for my 2-week gig cooking at the beach. And so she'll be semi-hosting, semi-being guest, and I'll be on the road doing my thing, but we're going to work it out, and we're going to have a lot of fun, that's for sure. But anyhow, back to today, I just want to let you know there's a queue. We got a queue. And if you want to join the queue, then please call in to 917-889-7806. Again, that is 917-889-7806. Please press 1, and that will let me know that you would like to speak to our guest for this evening. And we are getting a repeat performance, so to speak. Last month we had my beautiful sister and friend Jamila White on, and it was for our Mother's Day show. And we were really tapping into that powerful energy of creation. And so we were having such a good time. We didn't get through all we wanted to talk about. We left the queue hanging. So we are doing it again this month, freestyling it. And so if you want to get a chance to talk with Jamila, make sure you get in the queue. Get in the queue. Obviously, I want to make a song out of that. All right, anyhow, without further ado, I would love to introduce you to Jamila White. Welcome, hey, Jamila.
Hey, everybody. Tanya, thank you so much. I know you can hear me chuckling in the background here. We always have such a good time on the show. Yeah, we always start out laughing.
Yes.
Such a energy. I'm just excited to be back. And last month was fantastic. And I know we went off the air, but we continued to talk for everyone who was still on the phone and on hold. They could hear us. So we were still able to talk, which was pretty cool.
That was. It was our own little private time, yeah.
It was. Well, greetings from New Orleans.
Yeah. Yay, greetings. Greetings to you. And, you know, I didn't get a chance last month. I want people to know who you are, but we gotta talk about what you've been eating down there. I want more details,
oh, girl. Okay?
Okay,
so you're on the same wavelength. I was just thinking. We're on Mind, Body, Soul Food, and I got to tell you, I had the bomb brunch this morning, went out with some friends. A friend of mine from D.C. is in town, and so a couple of us went out for brunch at a place on Magazine Street uptown called Another Broken Egg Cafe, and yes, girl, the bomb. I had a lobster and brie omelet with a big old biscuit and grits. And hot tea and good girlfriend time, which was just as delicious, you know. But, yeah, there's no shortage of good food here in New Orleans. And I'm a brunch person anyway, breakfast and brunch. I love breakfast and brunch. So I'm in my element here. You know, for a Sunday brunch, it's always kind of hard to decide where to eat. So many good options here. My goodness. Yeah, if you get me started talking about New Orleans food, we'll be talking all day.
I know. We got to get you talking about you. But before we move on from the food, I have just got to say, I know one of your favorites, what you have said, is grilled oysters. Is that correct?
Well, char-grilled oysters, which is a special kind of oyster, char-grilled, where they, over an open flame, kind of grill up these oysters. It's something that even though I've been eating oysters like all my life in different ways, I never had char-grilled oysters until I moved here. Not even when I visited here, I didn't know about it until I moved. And I had two immediate reactions to it. Was not just, you know, that they're grilled, but they're seasoned with butter and garlic and Parmesan cheese and some kind of seasoning.
Oh,
I don't even know what it is. And they serve it to you piping hot. And it's like literally sizzling and bubbling when they bring it to the table. And it's so, so good. It is so, so good that I had two reactions. My first reaction was, oh, my God, what is this, you know, that I'm putting in my mouth? And they serve it with this good, crusty French bread, this French baguette, so you can sop up all the juices after you finish eating the actual oysters. My second reaction, I was mad. My second reaction was, oh, hold up. I've been eating oysters all of a sudden. Nobody told me. And I've been coming to New Orleans here. Nobody told all these people knew about it, and they didn't tell me. And I started mentally going through my list of friends, like, okay, so-and-so didn't tell me, and so-and-so didn't tell me. And I had to kind of check myself because I was getting salty over this amazing experience. Like, people have been holding out on me. So I feel like now it's my duty to tell people, if you come to New Orleans and you like seafood, and even some people who don't normally like oysters have loved char-grilled oysters. And the best place to get them, in my opinion, there's always a healthy debate over who has the best char-grilled oysters in New Orleans, is a place called Neo's, N-E-Y-O-W apostrophe S, Neo's in Mid-City. It's actually Black-owned. They have amazing char-grilled oysters. You actually see a little man in the corner behind a, like, encased in glass with a big open flame. I know he must be hotter than I don't know what back there grilling these oysters. And a good second is Drago's downtown, which is the restaurant inside the Hilton. Both of those restaurants are known for having excellent char-grilled oysters. But there's plenty of places you can get them. But in my opinion, if you're going to go ahead and get them, you might as well have the whole experience and either go to, like, Neo's or to Drago. So if anybody is coming in town in New Orleans, you know, just write it down, make a note, save it in your phone. It's an experience you don't want to forget. My dad and my stepmom were visiting last month during Jazz Fest, and I took them to Neo's, and they lost their mind over the oysters. I'm like, well, we have to come back before we leave. We have to come back here again and get these oysters before we go. So, yeah, it's good. Girl, you over here making my mouth water.
Girl, I am like holding my heart here. I mean, just holding my heart. My eyes are closed. I'm getting a visual.
Well, all right. Are you coming down here with your sorors for the boule, for the Zeta boule?
Well, one of my nieces who's a soror, I have a couple of nieces who are sorors, will be down for it, but that's my family reunion weekend.
Oh, okay, yeah. Hard choices. Yes, the family wins. Absolutely.
Considering I've been helping the planet for the last couple of years, you know. So.
Well, yeah. Well, send them the Neos while they're in town.
Okay.
Shella take lots of good pictures and send them to you. One time, not only did I take a picture, but I took a little, like a 5-second video of the sizzling oysters that I put on my Facebook page. And, you know, people were both delighted and angry with me for that kind of pose. But it's the kind of – it made my mother called me, and she said, when I'm in town, we have to go there. And I took her, of course. This was last fall when she was here, and she lost her mind, too, over these oysters. So, yeah, it's like that. I don't think you can over-exaggerate how wonderful they are. And if you already like oysters, it's great. But even if you don't, they don't kind of taste like fried or even raw oysters. It has kind of a much different, smokier, you know, flavor. And the seasonings are just, girl, okay, look, Neo's is closed on Sunday.
All right.
When I finish with this, I'm going over there. Because it's a mile from my house, so I can get there even if they're closed on Sunday. Now I have to wait.
Enough. I am hungry now.
I know,
we
right?
Have
who's hungry?
Show to get to before I can eat. And there won't be char grilled oysters either.
No. Oh my gosh.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. So, if you could give a brief synopsis to our listeners who may not have tuned in last month or in the past when you've been on, just let them know who you are and what you serve up at your healing table.
Well, thank you. Okay, my name is Jamila White, and I'm an intuitive consultant, and that's what I call myself, but people call me by different names. They say psychic, they say intuitive, they say prophetess, clairvoyant, healer. I don't really care too much what they call me, as long as I get to help people. So I just tell them that I help them with their problems, and what that means is I talk to their angels, their ancestors. I get messages from spirit, their angels and ancestors and mine, God, of course, and use that information and that insight to help people navigate situations that they're dealing with, or to make the best use of their potential and their opportunities and their gifts, including gifts that they may not know that they have, gifts that they may have brought with them into this world from past lives, or to navigate some of the challenges, too, that they may have brought with them, or whether they're new. There's usually some connection between our past lives and things that are going on in our current lives, and that information often comes up in a session. I also teach people, regular everyday people, how to use and strengthen, develop, and trust their own intuition, because we all have it. We're all born with it in various levels and capacities, and no matter what level you're at now, you can get better at it. It's like basketball. Anybody can learn to dribble. Anybody can play. You might be born with a natural gift like a Steph Curry or a Michael Jordan that can go to the highest of heights if you also develop and practice that, or it can be a gift that sits dormant, or you can be an everyday person who may not be a Michael Jordan, but you can get better no matter where you are. You can always get better with practice. And our intuition is first and foremost a gift to us to use for ourselves to help guide us through life. So in a nutshell, that's what I do. You know, I didn't always do that. I've had some career twists and turns, although I've always been intuitive. You know, I had a long career in entrepreneurship as an internet marketer, a web designer, and social media specialist, a communicator. But kind of 5 years ago, I kind of got a calling, 5 or 6 years ago, to go in a very, very different direction, and was a bit reluctant to accept that calling. But I did ultimately, and I'm so glad that I did in hindsight, but it was really a leap of faith. And, you know, we all have callings, and, you know, so, you know, as I'm talking and thinking about, I'm like, who is listening to this, who right now has an urge, a calling, a vision, something that's been placed within them, in their spirit, something to do, a specific something or a specific direction to go in. And are you answering that call? And if you have one, you already know what it is. And I can hear somebody raising their hand like right now, like saying, uh-oh, she's talking to me. I'm not doing what I'm called to do. I'm running from it. I'm avoiding it. I'm ducking it. I'm living small when I'm being called to be big. So, you know, girl is coming already.
I was about to say.
This message is from somebody. It's starting. Mm-hmm. The message,
I picked up on that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's somebody right now who probably tuned in by accident or just heard about it, or a friend said, go listen, who needs to hear that it's time to answer that call. And even if you don't think it's you, you can always ask the question, what call, big or small, am I receiving in my life right now? What's tugging at me? What's tugging at my heart? What's tugging at my spirit? And am I really answering that? Am I showing up fully to answer it? Am I letting it go to voicemail? Is God calling me and I'm letting it go to voicemail? And how is that working out for your life? How is it working out? Because I trust me when I say that if you answer their call, there's a blessing in it. It may not be what you plan for yourself, or maybe it is, and you're just afraid to be, you know, to succeed and to step out there. But I guarantee you there's a blessing in it for you, not just for the people who you'll be serving, but for you. And then you'll be asking yourself, why not do this sooner? Why?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's that, because all you asked me was, what was my story? And here we go already.
Hey, spirit does what spirit
does.
Yeah.
Mhm.
All right. Well, you know, as I said, we have a queue. We have a queue. But before we get to that, though, I really wanted. I was curious. And you know, I've read stuff about New Orleans, and of course, Marie Laveau, and you know, just all the. It's a mystical place. And so I'm just curious, since you moved there over a year ago, have you noticed any changes in your gifts?
Oh, that's a great question. And people ask me that all the time. What has moving to New Orleans, and I'm from D.C. originally, And before I got here a year ago, I spent a year and a half on St. Helena Island, South Carolina, in the Gullah Sea Islands, where my mom is, which is also a very deep and spiritual place, as you well know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know that it's changed my gift, but it's refreshing to be in an environment where spirituality is recognized, not just religion, but spirituality is recognized and celebrated and honored, that people acknowledge that we're not walking this earth alone. You know, so it's nice to be in an environment that way, but I don't feel that it's changed my gift per se. And it really hasn't changed my client practice, but it has, being in an environment that is so rich with spiritual energy that to me is palpable. New Orleans has an otherworldly feel to it. If you get off of Bourbon Street for a minute in the French Quarter, you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can actually walk from Bourbon Street, because that's where people tend to congregate, to St. Louis Cemetery. Is it Cemetery Number 1 or Cemetery Number 3? I forget, because they all call St. Louis Cemetery and they have different numbers, right on North Rampart Street. And you can feel that energy. You can see it as you're driving through the city, and you see the grave sites that are all above ground, because the New Orleans is so far below sea level, you can't really dig that deep before you hit some water. So they have to bury people above ground. You can see it. You can't miss it. I felt the same way in St. Helena Island. I felt that I was walking among spirits. Sometimes, quite frankly, I felt like I was in a minority in St. Helena Island as a person with a body. As a spiritual being that had a body. You know, it's a rural, remote area. It isn't as populated as a city like New Orleans. And to me, I felt like, we're here, but we're outnumbered. You know, not that it was a us against them kind of thing, but that was the first time I ever felt that way. Even long before I knew that I had the kind of gift that I have, I felt it, you know, 15 years ago when my mother first, even before she moved down there. It might even be 20 years ago. But even before she moved down there, when my godmother lived there, we would visit her. That's the first time I felt, first of all, that's the first time I saw spirits, visibly saw spirits with my eyes walking around. And that's the first time I felt like, oh, I'm outnumbered here, that there are more of them, more ancestors, ancestral beings, spiritual beings walking around on this particular earth than there are young folk with bodies. And it really kind of made me take a step back, because it put things in a different perspective of, oh, there's this whole other world that I have been totally oblivious to, and I'm getting a peek into it. And South Carolina also looks very otherworldly, with the big Spanish moss hanging down and the huge live oak trees and the oceans. And especially when the sunset, the moon is huge, and the Spanish, the trees with the Spanish moss hanging down, they actually start to look gray, and it looks like something straight out of a picture of a movie. It can be eerie for some, and creepy and spooky, because there's also very few streetlights, so it's just all pitch black except for the moonlight. But it can also be really beautiful, you know, depending on what your state of mind is at that point in time. The first couple times I saw it, I'm not even going to lie, it kind of freaked me out. I was like, what the what? Where am I? What place, what land is this, and what century am I in? You know, it was that kind of feeling. And in New Orleans, I feel like it's the same kind of energy, but the turned up version. The South Carolina version to me was the quieter, stiller version. The New Orleans version is the turned up, celebratory version, but it's the same energy. It's two sides of the same coin. And they both areas have so much in common, in that they were both the site of, or very close to, major slave ports during the slave trade, transatlantic slave trade. They are both areas that have a great deal of visible, retained African culture. So this ancestral feeling runs really deep for me, in terms of just the energy, the vibe of it. you know, here in New Orleans on a Sunday, you can still go to Congo Square in Treme, which is right on the edge of the French Quarter on North Rampart Street. Excuse me. And they have African drumming, I think almost every Sunday. And this is a carryover from 300 years ago, when both enslaved and free Africans used to drum in that same location. You know, so you can't have things like this happening and not understand that there is some continuity of energy and that the ancestors are still here.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. You can see it in the dancing of the second line parades. I mean, the first time I saw that, I was like, if that ain't straight up African dance, I don't know what is that footwork. It's called the second line footwork for these little parades. You know, these parades where people are actually walking and dancing and playing instruments. And the parades in New Orleans are not like parades anywhere else, in my experience. And I just was like, you can't tell me what to do. Yeah. So, you know, to answer your question about does it change the gift? No, but it feels good to have a place where my gift is supported. And people don't really bat an eye, and they ask me what I do for a living. Here, this is the first place I've lived where I say, you know, I'm a psychic or intuitive consultant. They say, oh, okay. And then the conversation just continues as normal. In other cities, and depending on who I'm talking to, but most of the time, that's a conversation stopper. If, you know, that's not the answer they were expecting, and it usually stops whatever direction the conversation was going in so that they can then ask me questions about either their amazed or afraid or just very, very curious, because it's not something that they hear every day. You know, unless I'm, you know, in a spiritual community talking, but just in terms of everyday conversations where you're, you know, in line at a store next to someone and you're having small talk and they say, oh, what do you do? Sometimes, quite frankly, I don't feel like having that conversation. And so I just say I'm a life coach or a consultant, depending on, you know, if I'm just trying to be in and out and pay for my items and roll out. I can't just say I'm a psychic and then roll out and not think that we're going to have a whole conversation about that.
It's not like saying,
you know, you're an accountant. You know, God bless accountants, but, you know, people understand what that means if you say you're an accountant or a secretary or a bus driver. But, you know, people have a lot of questions, and sometimes, most of the time I do try to take time to answer the question, but sometimes, like, I really have things to do. So, I, you know, respectfully give a broader answer that is truthful, but isn't going to stop the conversation.
Right. Gotcha.
But here in New Orleans,
thank you
for
sharing that.
Yeah. New Orleans people are like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, my auntie does it too, and they just keep it moving.
I love that. Well, I was wondering, and so, you know, now I know, no change in the gift, but definitely an environment that is, it's like reflecting you so much more.
Yes.
I love that.
It's supportive. And I just feel like my time in New Orleans, and it's been a year and a month, basically. It's the different places I've lived. You know, I grew up in the D.C. area, and then I spent this time in a short time in South Carolina. You know, there's almost like a theme to each one. It might be almost an eat, pray, love experience with different themes. But I feel like my time in New Orleans is really about, it's about pleasure. It's about joy and being able to engage and indulge in the senses. You know, it's not, we talked about food, of course, but it's also the music and the art that's here and the people that are here and the hospitality and the personality of the people. There's no place like New Orleans because there's no place like New Orleanians. You know, these are amazing, determined, resilient people who as a whole have been through so much, even before Katrina, but then Hurricane Katrina came in 2005. And, you know, these are folks who have been through all that, but they will still party down the street and offer you a drink and a bite to eat and keep it moving. There's nothing that can get these folks down. And there's a strength to it, but there's a real beauty to it, and there's a real sense of community here that I just totally appreciate and enjoy.
Beautiful. Well, you know, it's interesting because you know, you're speaking to the resilience of New Orleanians. Did I say that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
People from New Orleans.
Yes. Okay, great. And, I'm just thinking about, you know, where we are as a whole in our country. And there's been so much going on. And a lot of people really have had to tap into a sense of resilience. And some haven't as successfully done so. And so what we did not talk about last month, before we get to our callers, I really just wanted to find out, have you received any information from the other side? Because I know they're constantly talking to you about, you know, what's being birthed in our world. It's looking like a lot of ugliness on the surface for a lot of folks, a lot of painful contractions that we've been experiencing. But have they given you a hint, any thoughts on, you know, the bigger picture of it?
That's a great question, because I have seen a difference in people and in my clients since the election of fall of 2016, the level of stress and anxiety. It wasn't just about the election, but I think that brought things to a head, and it brought up a lot of uncertainty, insecurity, fear for people. It's given voice to a lot of fears from all angles, and so people are acting out, and what some people are calling, you know, more incidents of hate or racism or sexism or homophobia. It's the feelings aren't new, but a lot of people feel empowered to behave a certain way or to speak freely about what's been in their hearts the whole time. And what I think is happening is a reconciliation in our country of who we actually are as a nation versus who we've been telling everybody we are. Because we've been proclaiming since its inception that we're about equality and so on and so forth. And that we're over racism, and we're over this and that. And what we're seeing, quite frankly, is the opposite. You know, we talk about, often we hear people talking about the president and what he's doing and what he ought to do, what he ought not to do, what he's saying, what he's tweeting, all of this energy that he's putting out. But he is empowered because we the people have put him there. He is the manifestation of our collective consciousness of where we are as a nation. And so we can be angry about the individual, but he's the symptom. He's not the problem. And we keep treating him or talking about him as if he's the reason. He's the symptom. He's the boil or the pimple that's popped up on your skin when you're flushing out toxins. And it's ugly and it's filled with pus and it's painful and it's inflamed. But pimples are never the cause of anything. You know, pimples are not the cause. Pimples are the symptom. And you can be mad at the pimple, or you can go on a detox, or you can change your diet, or you could change whatever it is that's caused. He's the symbol of it all.
Yeah.
You know, and people keep saying, I wish he would just shut up and I wish he would go away. Well, he's not until we deal with the stuff.
Right.
We have to deal with the stuff. And from a spiritual perspective, which is very different than a political perspective, what it's done is expose what is already there. We've been shoving the pain of racism and sexism underneath and pushing it down further and further, and people are declaring that it doesn't exist. But what has happened is the country can no longer deny as a whole that we don't have these problems anymore. When we have elected someone who is a racist, sexist, homophobic, ableist, you know, all of these things that we say that we're not. So basically, it's put back in our face collectively, from a spiritual standpoint. It's a great lesson for us. Well, what are we going to do about it is the question. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about the racism, the sexism, the imbalance within law enforcement and the criminal justice system. What are we going to do about these things? And we're starting to see collectively these movements. We're seeing the Me Too movement, and we're seeing all of these different things that are addressing the ugliness that has been exposed. But people keep talking about the ugliness as if it arrived with it. All it did was pull back the curtain to reveal, you know, what's there. And so we could talk about what's happening in the country, but then what happens on the macro always happens on the micro and vice versa. In what ways are we individually, within ourselves, within our families, within our intimate relationships, in what ways are we declaring one thing and then behaving another way? We declare that we trust God. You know, some people in church 6 days a week, quoting scripture and verse, but do they behave in ways that reflect that they trust God with their lives? Which goes back to that first message I got about answering the call. If you trust God, are you answering? You can't declare that you trust God and then be running from the phone call at the same time. I would say phone call. It might not be a phone call. You know, messages come in all kinds of ways. We're using that as a metaphor. But in what ways have we declared a thing, but we're not behaving as if that thing is the truth?
Ooh. All right, now you got my foot over here twitching.
Uh-oh.
It's just moving. It's like, oh, my. Go ahead, girl. Preach. All right. No, that's amazing.
And I say this as a work in progress. You know, let me be clear. I am a work in progress. These are the same things that I struggle with. You know, just because the message comes through me doesn't mean I got everything lined up. I work on it, you know, and I try to surrender to that. And in some ways, it's easier than others, you know. But that really is the question, is what can, aside from complaining about it and focusing on what the tweet was, what are we learning from it? And how can we apply it to our lives and to better the lives of those who are around us?
That is the question, or the questions. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
And it's never too late to change direction. If it's not working for you, change something.
Truth. So, callers, you've heard that.
Callers.
We got started at the beginning of the call. Things were coming through with Jamila. So if you are ready to hear truth, if you are ready to act on truth, I mean, we have no control over that, but call in. The number is 917-889-7806. And before we get to our callers, one last question. Anything you need from them?
No, when they call or when they are called upon, all they need is their first name and if they have a specific topic or question that they want me to address. I am constantly amazed, Tanya, that people are lined up to call in for me to be all in their business on the airwaves. It never ceases to amaze me that's what people are volunteering to do. We're going to get all the opinions. Because half the time you think you've answered one question, but there's a bigger question underneath. So, all right, let's get it rolling.
All right, we're going to start off with the 770 area code. I think I recognize this number. Caller, you're live on Mind, Body, and Soul Food. You have a question for Jamila?
Yes, I do.
Hey, what's your first name, please?
Shanika.
Hey, Shanika, how's it going?
It's going good.
Good.
My question is, I'm in a relationship with a woman. I've known her for like 6 months now, and I do feel like it's a deeper connection, and I do love her, and I'm just wondering, what is the connection?
Okay. And can you give me the other person's first initial?
L.
L, okay. Yeah, this is an old connection. The minute you said 6 months, spirit said to me much, 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 much longer in spirit, not necessarily in terms of this lifetime. This is an old connection, and I feel like both of you recognized immediately that there was this pull to each other, okay? And you all have a, in this case, there's a soul contract. Before you had this body and before Elle had her body, you all were in agreement about what you would teach each other in this lifetime, this go around, because I feel like you all have been together, whether as lovers or as business partners, as parent child, as best friends, et cetera, whatever. You all have been in close, intimate relationship before. And the lesson that you all have agreed to teach each other is trust. And you get to choose what the lesson is, but you don't get to choose how the lesson gets delivered. So the two of you being together is an exercise in learning how to trust. And not, when I say trust, I don't just mean how to trust the other person, mm-hmm. i.e. how to trust the other person not to betray an agreement or a commitment. But it's also, do I trust myself enough to open up to this person, to really open up beyond the surface, to let all my stuff show. So that, because what I feel from each of you is you want to be loved wholly and completely, but in order to be whole, loved wholly and completely, you have to show the whole and complete self to the other person.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is one of the things that if it hasn't come up already, you guys are at the 6-month mark, right about to come up on that, is do I trust myself and do I trust spirit enough to really show up without the mask in this relationship, because there's a really beautiful opportunity between you and Elle to grow that way, to really go deep for however long you all want this to be. Because what I'm hearing is there's potential for long-term if you choose it. It's not a guarantee that this is a long-term thing, but there's potential for long-term if you choose it, meaning that there's no outside thing that's going to interfere with the relationship, but the inside stuff could trip you up if you allow it to.
Mm-hmm.
Does this make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this immediate draw and pull to want to spend time with this person, to want to be with this person, to want to get close to this person. At the same time, you all's triggers are going to come up in this relationship around trust, around do I trust the person based on my own experiences? Do I trust relationships?
Yeah.
Do I trust this individual? And then do I trust myself, not just to show up, but also what I'm hearing for you, Shanika, is a little voice that's saying, in the past, I kept making the quote-unquote wrong choice. Every time I thought I made the right choice in a partner, it turned out to be the wrong choice and it blew up in my face. So this is just as much an exercise for you to learn how to trust yourself. Mm-hmm. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
Mhm. But there's some stuff there for both of you to work through, but there's a lot of beauty in this relationship if you all trust yourselves and trust the process and really show up to the other person, not as a favor to them, but as a gift to yourself. About what does it feel like to be wholly and completely loved by another person, faults and all. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you've gotten to that level in your previous relationships because you've always held back just a little bit.
Yes. So this is totally different for me. So.
Yes, it's different for you. And the question is, are you really ready to show up in a way that you haven't before? Because in the past, it's easy for you to point your finger to the other person, say they did this and they did that and they hurt me in this way. But at the same time, you never fully showed up for them to love you. Now, you know, you might have also made some choices that made it hard for that to occur. But the real root is it was a distraction. Those reasons, those betrayals and hurts were a distraction from the ways that you hadn't shown up all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an opportunity with Elle to do it differently. And so I wish you the best. Because, you know, there's a lot there between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be even more beautiful if you both kind of continue to let your guard down and really show up.
And I have been doing it lately, like my fears and stuff.
Good for you. Yes.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Shanika.
Thank you, Shanika, for calling in. Blessing to you and Elle.
Thank you.
All right. Trust, starting us off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a caller from the 201 area code.
Call, you are live. Hello.
Hi, it's Maria.
Hi, Maria.
Hi, Maria.
My question today is, do you see me traveling this summer to reunite with someone, or do you see me meeting someone new, or both?
Okay. So do I see you traveling to reunite with this person or meeting someone new? The first thing I'm getting is this is really not a question about travel. This first person that you were looking at reuniting with, what's their first initial?
E.
E. The real question is E matching your effort to be together? That's the real question. And if you have to ask that question, you already know the answer. Right?
Well, we haven't seen each other in years. We're good friends. Mm-hmm. And the real question is, will I have enough money to go reunite with him and see him? That's really...
No, but that's not really the question, because you're not the only one in this relationship or this potential relationship. Why is
right. The
onus on you to decide whether you all have a future together?
Uh-huh.
The real question is he as invested in, as you are into growing this relationship? And when I tap into E's energy, I feel like he's interested as long as it's easy and comfortable for him. He's not interested in stepping out of his comfort zone. So if you do all the work, if you spend all the money and make all the time and take all the time off work and do all the traveling and show up on his doorstep butt naked under a trench coat, he'll be fine with that. But is he going to actually do anything to make something happen between the two of you? Is he, if you, let's just say, for example, that you don't have the money to do the traveling, and that means this relationship is going nowhere because he's not doing anything. The energy that I get from him is he's interested in what you offer to him. I don't see him offering you. I don't see him putting any energy, effort, or attention behind moving the relationship forward with E.
Right.
So you have to decide what kind, not, your question isn't really about travel or money, but or even whether E is the right person for you. The question is, what kind of relationship do you want for yourself, Maria?
Friendship.
Is that what you want?
Yep. That's what we are, friends.
So you're basing that based on what you see in front of you and what you think is available to you. Outside
right.
of E, if E is not even in the picture, what is the kind of relationship that your heart desires? And you have to get really real with yourself.
Well, I'm hoping to meet somebody new where I can have a long-term relationship with.
Right. You want a real relationship. That's what your heart wants. Your mouth is struggling with admitting it, but your heart wants a real relationship, a
right.
real, committed, partnered, loving, joyful, sexy relationship. But what you look at around you is what you think is available for you, and you're settling for that because you don't think that in your heart of heart you can have what you want. And so the question is, if you know that that's what you want and E isn't offering it, then E has already answered the question about whether he's the right one. We get so caught up in the individual about wanting a certain person that we try to fit them in the box of the right relationship. And if we answer the question first about what kind of relationship we really, really, really want, then we can more easily discern whether a potential partner is the right one based on whether they meet that relationship. But then we get caught up in our attraction for another person and we disregard what our heart truly wants, and we settle for a fraction of it. Because what you really want, Maria, is a man who's going to come and sweep you off your feet.
Right.
I feel like you've got old school romantic heart. You're a romantic at heart, and you want someone who's a romantic. Like, get this big old soft beating heart. Excuse me. This big old soft beating heart. When I tap into your energy, and someone who is going to show up and honor that, you want someone who is going to speak his words of love to you and show up for you and do the little things to show that he is thinking of you and that you are on his mind and that you matter. But you've decided that that's not really available to you, or you're deciding that if I show up, if I do all the work and swim 1,000 miles to E, he'll know how much I love him, and then he'll reciprocate, even though he's not doing any of that right now. And if
right.
you keep going in that direction, you're going to end up with another broken heart, because E is
no,
already showing you what he's about.
We haven't seen each other in years.
I understand
and...
that you're friends. I don't think you hear what I'm saying. You are friends. I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm saying he is not matching the level of interest, effort, or investment that you have as far as advancing this relationship. Because if you decide that you can't go or won't go, then that's the end, because he can't or won't do anything about it.
Right.
And in your heart's heart, that's not what you want. You want a man that's going to come get you.
Right.
And pick you up and go fly off to wherever. You know,
that
speaking. Well, I do, but not until you decide that you're going to have it.
Right.
If you're so focused on E, you're blind to anybody else who might be showing up with that energy, because you're focused on him.
Okay.
So if you like, you can always keep your options open to E and see what he does, while you keep all your options open to meeting another person. But there's another person available for you, but he can't even come in because all of your energy is wrapped up in E.
Mm.
I actually see somebody who works in a healthcare, medicine, or a hospital. I don't even know. I don't think you've met this person yet, but I see him around a healthcare environment. And this is the guy who is really he's ready to sweep you off your feet. He's got all this love to give. And he's looking for you, but you're looking at E. And if he showed up tomorrow, you wouldn't be ready, because you're thinking about trying to get a plane ticket to go see E. I'm not saying E's a bad person. Not saying that at all. I'm not saying don't see him. Not saying that at all. But if you were to step back just a little bit to see what he does, you would find that it is nothing. So manage your expectations about what he's going to do, and base your expectations about what he's going to do, but based on what he's actually doing and not what you hope he's going to do.
Because
he's showing you who he is, and he's showing you where he is. It doesn't even mean that he doesn't like you. It doesn't even mean that he's not attracted. He's just not willing or able to put the time, energy, and effort in to actually make something happen with you or to grow with you. He wants you to do everything. And what would happen is, if you showed up on his doorstep ready to give yourself to him in whatever way, I'm not even necessarily talking physical, although it could be, but you give him everything, you know, 6 months, a year, 5 years down the line, you can be worn out and resentful that you're giving, 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 and he's taking, 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 and how come he never does what you, how come he never shows up for you? But right here in the beginning of this is where he's showing you who he is, and you can accept the truth based on what he's doing, or you can live in this world that, if I give, 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 eventually I'm going to win him over and he'll understand how much I love him and he'll start to show it back. So you have a choice. And he's showing you who he
and
is. Meanwhile, old guy over there in the doctor's office or the hospital or whatever in the healthcare, he's looking for somebody to, he's looking for a partner he can give to. Thank you so much, Maria.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
All right.
All right. There's a really good lesson in there for a lot of people.
I was thinking the same thing.
Because we do that, especially people who are emotionally sensitive, who are empathic, who are intuitive. Often we can feel someone's attraction for us. We can feel it. We can feel the feeling of it. And then we start making relationship decisions based on the feeling of attraction that we feel from the other person, as opposed to the actions that they are taking. Someone can be attracted to you and like you and still not be ready, willing, or able to make any kind of meaningful commitment to you.
Ain't that
ready, willing, and able to even lift a finger to take an action. They might be paralyzed by fear, by trauma, by disappointment, by laziness, or lack of integrity, whatever the reason is. We're caught up in, but I know he likes me. I can feel his attraction or her attraction or whatever. And then we start planning the relationship based on that feeling versus what they're actually doing and what choices that they're making on a daily basis. And then we end up confusing her down the line, like, I just can't do this anymore, and resentful. You know, I can't do this anymore. How come I'm doing all the work? Because you set it up that
there.
Way. We've all been there. I need to write a book about it. I've been there so many times. Been there, done that. Especially people. I mean, we all fall into that dynamic, but especially those of us who are any level of intuitive, empathic, or emotionally sensitive, because we can feel other people's feelings so strongly. And then it's, we have to learn how to discern what is the feeling versus what choices are they willing to make. Because you can feel afraid and you can push through the fear, or you can choose to be stifled by the fear, but it doesn't change how you feel about the attraction for someone. And so if they're not choosing to push through their fear or their circumstance or their limitation in order to be with you, then they're not ready. You have to be ready, willing, and able, and one of the three is not going to make it.
Right.
It has to be all three.
Right.
As evidenced by actions and choices and not just on the feeling. That was a good call. Because there are so
that
many of us
call.
In the
call. Well, we are now going to a local caller from the 240 area code, and I know who this caller is. Hello, caller.
Hello. Hi, Jamila. Hi, Tanya. This is Aurelia.
Hi. Oh, Aurelia. Hey.
Hey. Oh, my gosh. This call is just phenomenal. I just want to start off by letting you know I'm resonating on so many different levels because I came to New Orleans just after my mother's passing in 2016, and the last thing I ate before I left there was the char-grilled oysters. And
get out of here.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
My girlfriend came with me, and she left before me, and we kept saying, we want oysters. And when I had them, I sent her a text before she landed going, oh, girl, I just don't know. I don't even know what to tell you anymore. That was just amazing. And I'm from the country. I'm from Charleston, and, you know, I just – And I went to New Orleans because I read an article in the Smithsonian Magazine called The Slave Trail of Tears, and it started here in Alexandria where I live now, and they walked enslaved people from Alexandria to New Orleans for the intercontinental slave trade that started after the intercontinental intercontinental it ended.
You said walk them to New Orleans from Alexandria, Virginia. Wow. I have to. I'm writing this down. I got to look that up. You said it was Smithsonian Magazine?
The Smithsonian Magazine. And this would have been in probably around November of 2015 that article came out.
Wow.
Or sometime in the late 2015 timeframe. Because that's what made me say, I am going to New Orleans. I had only been there once before as a child, and I didn't remember anything, and so I needed to go. So,
wow.
Really,
and how come we aren't learning this in our history books? That's amazing. That's well, we know
ladies.
Why. And thank you for sharing
ladies,
that. And also, thank you for sharing
that.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to let you know there's a strong echo going on between your conversation. So one of you could go off of
I'll come off the speaker. Is that better?
Yes.
Better, Tanya?
Thank you.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Oh, also, thank you for sharing about the oysters, because I know when I'm sitting over here on and on about these oysters, people think I'm exaggerating. Now, thank you for validating that I'm not just a crazy oyster lady, that these oysters are the truth.
Right. And I've been eating oysters all my life, because down in South Carolina, that's what we do. And so I've never had anything like that. I just didn't get to that level of, now I'm mad at everybody who may have had these and never told me. I didn't have that.
I had to have an attitude adjustment.
I could definitely understand it. If there's anybody that could have had it and didn't tell you, because I don't know if anybody else who had it other than this conversation round. My gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what
can
I do for you today, Aurelia? How can I help you?
Okay. I have been having a lot of movement in a lot of different aspects of my life.
but I'm specifically asking what call am I receiving in my relationship, and that's my significant relationship and my spiritual lives, and does one have a play on the other?
So your question is, what call are you receiving in your spiritual, in your romantic relationship, and in your spiritual life, and does one have an effect on the other? Was that the question?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For your relationship, what's the first name or initial of the other person?
J.
All right, let's see what's going on with J and with you. Well, every, you know, just in general, every relationship is a spiritual relationship. We're spiritual beings, so they're all spiritual relationships. Some of them have more impact on the rest of our lives than others, but every relationship is a spiritual relationship. Okay, now let's see what's going on here. This thing with you and Jay. I'm picking up a lot of energy around you having had to push through fear in order to be grounded in this relationship. Various fears, levels, different layers and levels of fear, but also that there's a lot of joy here. That there's a lot of joyfulness in this union and in this interaction with Jay. Does that make sense? Aurelia, are you there?
Yes, there's a lot of joy in it.
Yeah.
And there has been a lot of fear at a lot of different levels because this has been a long-term, a long, ongoing thing.
Okay, yeah. The lessons that you get just by virtue of choosing to push forward through, even though you feel fear at the different times and places in this relationship, are definitely lessons in that you can take with you any place else, whether it's another relationship or other areas of your life. But once you've made a choice to push through a fear, no matter what happens next, the choice of I'm afraid, but I'm going forward anyway, that confidence and that trust, the trust in yourself and the trust in spirit that happens as a result of making that choice, regardless of the outcome, because there's times where you can push through fear and then different stuff happens and you're like, okay, but I still survived it. And it builds your trust muscle. I think we often talk about trust and faith as this outside thing that exists way over there, but it's a muscle. It's like the thing that you have to flex and use in order to get the benefit of it. You know, we can talk about trust and fear and faith and read about it and theorize about it, but until it shows up and you have to make a hard choice to either retreat or go forward, it doesn't mean a lot. And the fact that you made these choices at different areas where you could have either left or you could have shut down emotionally and retreated within yourself, you know, you can't undo that. You can't undo the strength that grew from having made those choices. And so that applies to other areas of your life. You know, when you're confronted with another situation of any kind that feels scary and uncomfortable and that stretches you outside of your comfort zone, that's a gift that you learn from the relationship, but it applies to everything else. Now, specifically to the question about, you know, what is the call and are you answering it? I'm getting a yes, and well, you're answering it, but there's an opportunity for you to grow bigger. There's an opportunity for you. There's some aspect of your life, your spiritual self, and in your personal growth that I feel like you're supposed to be. It's not that you're not where you're supposed to be, but you're at a point in your life where the chapter is changing. You're turning the page to something else or to a new level. And all of these other things that you've been doing and working on and skills that you've been collecting are going to be combined in a new way, because I feel like you're moving out of primarily a role of supporting other people in achieving, you know, carrying out their vision, carrying out their calling, to being out front with carrying out a calling of your own. And however that shows up, I don't know in what way, but it's changing, and it's going to feel uncomfortable to you, Anytime that we are called out of our comfort zone, and of course, you know, we all know that everything that we want is outside of our comfort zone. Everything that we don't already have that we want is outside of our comfort zone, because if it was within our little comfort zone, we would already have it, because all we could do is just sit on the couch and reach for it. But we have to get up and get out of our zone. I feel like you're going to be more out front, more visible, and your voice is meant to be heard. And I don't know if that's literal, like as in your speaking voice, but your voice, your work, your words, your thoughts, your ideas, your projects, your creations are meant to be moving from behind the scenes, where you feel very, very comfortable doing, being the wind beneath a lot of other people's sails, to moving out front, and which is a very, it can feel very vulnerable to be out front in that way. It can feel like all eyes are on you. It can feel like you're a target. It can just feel vulnerable. It also means that you have to trust other people to be the wind beneath your sails sometimes, the wind beneath your wings, and not just you being the support. You're very comfortable in that role of supporter, and much less comfortable of the role of being out front and being the leader. And that's what's changing in terms of what you're being called to do. I don't know what the specific thing you're being called to do is, but I think you know, or you have an inkling of what direction it's in. Does this make sense to you, Aurelia?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So you have to get a little uncomfortable and be a little bit more out front, and that's going to continue to grow.
And does this relationship have...
Oh, go ahead.
Do you see that if this relationship has any impact one way or the other of my movement?
Let's see. What's going on with Jay and the impact? Well, you have to be you, and you have to answer the calling, whether it changes the dynamic between the two of you or not. I feel like there's going to be a little bit of friction too, because Jay is used to you being the wind behind his sails as well. And so if you need to be out front more, which sometimes might require more of your time to get whatever this is off the ground or launched or created, that might be not just uncomfortable for you, but uncomfortable for some of the people you're in relationship with, both in terms of primary relationship, but also in terms of work relationships, because it changes the dynamic. The two of you will have an opportunity to work through it, and you can work through it if you both choose to, you know, but it's not going to be business as usual. Something is changing with you. I want to be clear that doesn't mean the end of the relationship, but you both are going to have to adjust. And if only one of you adjusts, which even if it's only him, if only one of you adjusts, it's not going to work. If you both are willing to adjust and to sit down and to say, okay, we might have to create a new normal, then it could work. But the bigger question is less about his comfort level with the changes that you're going to make versus your comfort level with the changes that you're being called to make. Because the more comfortable you are, the more comfortable the people, they're going to take their cues from you. And if you look real, well, I'm not saying that you got to fake it, because sometimes discomfort is just that, is discomfort, if it is what it is. But if you're looking to all of these other folks to validate the calling that you get from God, you might not get all that value. You might get it from some people, but you may not get it. And sometimes that's where this trust comes in of, all right, Spirit is speaking to me, and I may not have the whole plan, but I know what I'm supposed to do next. I know what the next step is. And it's going to look crazy to a lot of other people because it's not the role that they're used to me playing. If Gail suddenly became Oprah, there's a whole lot of people who have a problem with that.
And ladies, that thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Aurelia.
Take care.
Thank you, Aurelia.
Thank you, Tanya.
Whew. That was good stuff. Good stuff.
Wow, these questions are great.
Wow. Yes. And I have to tell you, since we started and have been going, this queue has grown exponentially. I mean, really, it has doubled. It has almost tripled from when we were initially talking and even when we were first, you know, calling people in. So I'm like, oh, my gosh, look at the queue. So, Jamila, you've been doing that thing. You've been giving it up. But now they're going to have to follow up with you to get more of the goodies and the juiciness.
Yes.
So
yes.
We're going to keep it a little briefer for our folks because you are breathing life, girl.
We can get to more people. Can I just say something, though, about this thing about the queue growing? Because it goes back to the question of answering the calling. When I was told back in 2012 to stop doing the internet marketing stuff and to do the intuitive stuff, like, it came out of the blue. I was not interested in pursuing that career. Spirit said, this is what you need to do. And I was placed in situations for that to happen. And I was like, okay, I can see. My conversation with Spirit was, okay, I can see how I could do a couple readings here and there. I don't see how I can make a living from it. I don't know where the clients will come from. I don't see how people can learn about me doing this. I'm not comfortable with telling people that I do this. And Spirit's response to me was, don't worry about that. Just do it. Make yourself available, and I will send the clients. I'm like, well, there's people who work in the same store where I work who've been doing this for 30 years, and they don't always have clients. So how am I going to come out of the blue with no experience, and you just say that the clients is going to come? Well, clients just came, and then they would leave and come back with three people. And it just kept growing and growing, and I did very little advertising. It was mostly word of mouth. And the fact that there are, you said, triple the number of people on the call, and this is part two from last month, I want people to, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because when Spirit says do something and then says I got you, then go on and do it because that's what it means. You don't necessarily have to do the things that you think you have to do. If Spirit says I got you on that part. I did not trust that there would be clients, but within 3 months, I was doing it full time. Full time within 90 days. And even though it's now been five years and some change, it never ceases to amaze me that people just keep showing up. And then I hear Spirit say, well, I told you, if you just go and do what I told you to do, you don't have to worry about this part. And like, where do these people keep coming from, Tanya? I'm grateful.
Oh, no, Jamila.
I am grateful
that they are tuning in.
Yes. Okay, let's take this next call. I had to say that because I'm not immune from the messages I give, and that part about answering the call, I needed to share that I had to go through that same decision-making process and about whether I was going to trust that or not. And I'm a trust but grumbler. Like, I'll do it while I'm grumbling. Like, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it, but I don't see how that's going to work, but I'm going to still do it anyway. And, you know, and God is like, told you so. Okay.
Right. I love it. And they are calling from all sorts of area codes all around the country, too.
Wow.
So they come in to me that.
Wow.
So the next area code is 347.
347.
Hello,
right.
Caller.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you for calling in. What's your name?
My name is Katie.
Hey, Katie. And where is 347? Where are you coming from?
New York.
New York. All right. How can I help you today, Katie?
Okay. So I think this can help everybody if we find out an answer. I want to know. So I kind of like, I'm a person, I'm very aware, I'm very in tune. So I know my issues. I've always known my issues. Like, you know, like say if I have a money belief, I know where it came from. I know all of that. I need to know what Spirit is saying. How do I change my beliefs, or how do I release energy associated with a belief?
Oh, that's a great question. So if you know you have a belief, a limiting belief, how do you change it? Okay, so a belief is kind of like a tape play a tape recorder that's just playing the same message over and over and over and over again. So what is the limiting belief that you're talking about?
Okay,
one of them.
That I have to suffer or struggle to receive money. Money also means love. Money also means love to me. So basically, suffer and struggle to receive love and money.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being real honest with that. I think the fact that we named the belief just got a lot of people's attention because it affects them too. A lot of people have this belief.
Right.
How many of us were told that anything worth having is worth working for, and that money doesn't grow on trees, and that we have to earn money or we have to earn love? All of these things.
Yeah.
This is a belief that is firmly implanted in many of us from a variety of backgrounds and whatever. So thank you for sharing that. So it's a tape that plays over and over again that we aren't, essentially the core belief is that we aren't worthy just by the fact that we're here to be loved or to be abundant. That's really what the belief is. We're not worthy, that we have to do something to earn it. So in order to change a limiting belief, first we have to identify what the belief is. Okay, and then it isn't enough to say don't think that. Excuse me, because for example, and this is, you know, classic law of attraction stuff, and folks who are interested in learning more about this approach can, you know, look up The Secret, the book or the movie The Secret, or can Google Abraham Hicks and see all these videos of Esther Hicks talking. I mean, they're freely available on YouTube. They're everywhere. But if you have a limiting belief, let's say if I tell you right now, okay, Katie, do not think of yellow. What are you thinking about?
Yellow. Right.
So, and the more you think, don't think that, the brighter that yellow is going to get. The more you're going to notice yellow in the room, the more you're going to notice that you have yellow specks in your jewelry. Like, the more I tell you don't think yellow, the more you're going to think about yellow. And the same works with the rest of our thoughts. So if we say, you know, don't think that you have to earn love, it's going to magnify that. Right. So the solution isn't to say don't say that, don't think that, but to come up with a new tape that you replay over and over again. So if I say if the object is to not think about yellow, to replace yellow with something else, if I say to you, don't think yellow, you think yellow. But if I say to you, OK, Katie, think about red, you're thinking about red. And by virtue of thinking about red, you're no longer thinking about yellow. So you have to replace the thought. So what is a thought that you can replace? I'm not worthy to receive love just by being me, or I'm not worthy to receiving abundance, financial material abundance, just by being me. What thought can you replace that with?
I am worthy of receiving love just by being me.
Absolutely. Love and an abundance of love and money is my birthright. It's my birthright. And by virtue of being born, it's already mine. So every time, so then from that point of now you've rewritten. So step one is to realize what the limiting thought is. Step two is to come up with a replacement thought. And step three is the tricky part. It's practice. It doesn't just happen overnight. You have to replace the thought. So every time the other thought comes up of, oh, this person won't love me because, or oh, I can't be in a relationship because, or, oh, I'm not going to have enough money because, you're like, oh, I'm doing it again. My brain, look what my brain is doing. My brain is making that thought again. Okay.
Right.
Let pause, cancel, and replace. Okay. Money and love are my birthright. It is mine just by virtue of being here. I'm worthy and I deserve it. And the first couple times you say that, it's going to sound like a bunch of hoo-ha. Like your brain is going to be in full rebellion, like, oh, that's not true, whatever, whatever. But the more you practice it, it becomes automatic, just like the first tape of you're not worthy is going to be automatic. And eventually with practice, the second one becomes automatic and you don't even have to worry about the first one anymore, you know, over time. But it is a practice.
Yeah, I find that, say, for example, when people are holding on to beliefs, I find that they're attached to emotion. Like it could be shame. It could be guilt. I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like things are, like even money, it's attached to a certain emotion. So I'm thinking if you can clear the emotion, then you can clear the tape.
Absolutely. You can clear the tape, but first clear the tape. Clear the tape and work on the emotion. Yeah. But really, money is just energy.
Right. It is.
It's just energy. Money is a piece of paper that's printed, and half the time that's not even paper anymore. It's electronic. It's just energy.
It's a symbol, right? It's a symbol.
It's a symbol. And so if you're having a money block, it's not really a money block. It's an energy block. And it's like, what's causing the block? Is it the emotion that you mentioned, or, you know, what's causing the block? And if you can remove the block and get things flowing again, then it will flow. And sometimes you have to get things unclogged in an area, another area of your life. Like your money problems, if you're feeling like you have a block or it's clogged or it's not flowing, it may have nothing to do with money, but in your job, it might have everything to do with you being a repressed creative individual, a repressed artist who's not creating and flowing.
Totally. Yes, I mean, when you were saying that, yes, because believe it or not, I want to do like chocolates and cakes, and I'm like, well, how am I going to get started? It's just like, just do it.
And I know we need to keep this brief, but that wasn't an accident that those words came to my mouth when I'm talking to you.
I know.
And we need to get to part of the root is, who told you when you were very young, what well-meaning person who was trying to direct you towards stability told you that your creations weren't valuable or were never going to make enough money or weren't good enough or you can't make a living from it or it's frivolous? Who told you that? Because that's your original
My mother.
Story.
And
okay,
I think
so
because I value whatever with her that holds the belief in. Something like that.
Absolutely. And so because it was mom, it's all tied up not just in money but in love. Because
yeah.
you never got permission to be your full creative self because that's who you are. And your mother meant well because she wanted you to have stability. And in her mind, stability meant not doing that frivolous creative stuff. She meant well, but she was limited. So that was the best that she could give you. But now that you know who you are, the more you repress your creativity, the more you're going to be blocked with love and money because you haven't accepted who you are and the energy is stuck. You're creatively constipated.
Girl.
And if you get that stuff, you're going to find money coming to you from all kinds of places. You start getting out there making stuff and creating stuff, you're going to find money coming to you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. It's not going to be able to stop. But until you unblock the drain, it's like a clogged up drain, until you unblock it, everything is stuck, starting with the money.
Oh my God, you're a preacher. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, girls. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye. Wow. Jamila, I just want to make sure that folks know how to follow up with you because time is
just
trickling on by. How can they get a hold of you?
Okay, the easiest way is on my website, www.inspiredjamila.com, InspiredJamila.com. My New Orleans office is opening up next Saturday here in New Orleans on Magazine Street in Uptown. I'll be available there selected Saturdays. I'm very excited about that. So an announcement on my website is coming up soon, and they'll be able to book sessions with me then. But most of my clients are not in New Orleans or whatever city I'm living in at the time. Most of my clients, 90% are virtual, meaning that you can talk with me from wherever you are, whatever city, whatever country you're in. I do telephone sessions and I do Skype video sessions. And for some folks who aren't able to do Skype, we can do Google Hangouts or something else, some other video. But yeah, come to my website. I'm also on Facebook, also Inspired Jamila on Facebook. And I'm on Instagram too, but Facebook and my website are really the best ways to reach me. You can also reach out to me by phone, area code 240-242-9390. Although if you're calling to make an appointment, it's just easier if you go on my website and schedule yourself. And I'll be delighted to speak with you. I'm in Washington, D.C. a couple times a year. I was just there in May. So I'll probably be back at some point, possibly over the summer, but definitely in September. September and December, I'll be back in D.C. I don't have to be in the same room with you, as you can tell from us doing the radio show, because you're in one city, I'm in another city, and the callers are in a third city most of the time. So your spirit guides, your angels and ancestors will talk to me wherever we are, wherever I am, wherever you are. They'll connect, and I also read energy.
Ain't
so thank you for
truth.
That. Yeah, I can't wait. Every time I come on your show, too, I get a whole bunch of new clients, too. So I appreciate that. I'm so grateful.
I love it. Well, we're going to have time for only one more, but I wanted to just remind folks to tune in again next month, second Sunday at 6, where we will have Khadijah 7 on, and we'll be talking about integrating our spirituality. Because, many of us started off as one thing, and as the years have come on, morphed into something else, and it's concerning for some folks, scary, what's been coming up for them, and all of that. So we'll be talking about that juicy goodness and taking callers for readings as well.
Well, that sounds so juicy.
It's going to be juicy. And just to let you know, Khadijah 7 will be following up with you, Jamila, because she'll be visiting New Orleans this
week. Oh, yes. Yes, wonderful. I can't wait to meet her and talk with her.
So our final caller for the evening is from the 757 area code, my former area code when I was down in Hampton Roads area. Caller?
757 Virginia.
Mm-hmm. If I can, there we go, caller, you're live. Are you there? From the 757? Okay, caller's going back.
All righty. Somebody else just manifested that last spot. That's what just happened.
And that person from... Oh, that person hung up. Oh, somebody is working something because that 402 person is gone. So the next one, somebody, look, someone from the 301 area code, another local person with the 592 exchange. Who is this person? This powerful man.
Hello.
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 Hi.
That's so funny because I didn't think I was going to be able to talk to you, Jamila. I'm Carla.
Hey, Carla. Look at you, hey. Carla. I don't know what's going on over there, but you just, I don't want to say took two people's spot because what's yours is yours, but you made it clear that that was your spot.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's... So I wanted to. Yeah, that's amazing. I wanted to ask you about, I wanted to get your take on my path in the relationship area. Right now, I'm juggling a lot of things, but I feel as if I am ready to attract my soulmate, and I'm getting messages from different directions, which is confusing me. But mm-hmm. I've been working on myself and just trying to figure out where do I need to go in terms of attracting that soulmate.
Okay, so I want to make sure I understand your question. You want to attract the person, but then you want to go get the person.
I want to attract the person.
Okay, I just want to be clear, because that's part of the issue, is that mm-hmm. you want to attract the person, and attract means you're doing whatever you do, and they come to you.
Right.
But you feel like you believe that you have to go get a person, you have to go do something to make this happen.
Right, yes.
Right, and you see how those two beliefs or those two desires are in conflict with each other.
Yes. Now, yeah, I do see that.
Right. So part of what's happening here, what I'm picking up, and I, oh my God, I totally get it. Okay, I'm looking for the right words. Okay, so... As a powerful man, if we all just saw, everybody who's on this live call, everybody who's on the, listening on the recording, just saw how powerful Carla is. By the virtue of her thought, she said she wanted a reading with me. She wanted to talk to me. Just so happened there was two people in front of her and there was one space left. She got the spot because she's a powerful manifester. It was her spot to claim. She walks with this kind of power. Carla, you walk with this kind of, so everybody saw that. Carla, you walk with a certain kind of power. And it can be intimidating to others. I'm not saying that you're doing anything wrong or that you have a personality that's all in your face, but you walk with a certain strength. And as a result, the kind of mates that you or partners that you will attract have to be strong enough within themselves that they know how, that they are balanced and a Mac and compatible for that. What has happened, which happens to many of us who are strong, and especially for women, because that kind of strength isn't always valued, we begin to think that if I either have to tone myself down, be a little more quiet, be a little more subdued, be a little more less than, be a little more small than the person that I actually was built to be, because being strong or being big or being a powerful manifestor or having a big energy, even if I don't have a big mouth, means that they're either going to pass me over or they're going to want to control it. They want to own it and harness it to satisfy their own ego. Does any of this make sense to you, Carla?
Yes, completely. Yep.
So then underneath all of that, even though that's the experience, that's the manifestation of the experience, the belief underneath that is I'm not lovable as I am. I'm not lovable how I was made. So I have to either tone myself down or I have to settle for somebody who's not really on my level.
Yes.
And that's really where the conflict exists for you about wanting to attract a person, which is the essence of a feminine energy. Feminine energy attracts, masculine energy seeks. And that's not about male or female or gender, it's about energy. But being a strong energy person, you're often walking in a masculine energy. And so you either attract people who are in a feminine energy, you know, or you attract people who want to out-masculine your energy.
Mm-hmm.
Does this make sense to you?
Yes.
There is the one. There is the one. There actually is more than one. I'm seeing three. There's at least three people in this world who are built perfectly to be a companion to you and who are strong enough, secure enough within themselves to be a match for you without forcing you to play small or trying or forcing you to be subservient to all of their needs, to all of your needs. So what the opportunity for you and for everyone else who feels the same way on any level isn't to change what you want, but to look for it, to look at it differently, and to believe that, first of all, you are worthy to have it. This is almost like a follow-up to the other question we just had, where Katie called and was talking about how do you reverse or undo a limiting belief. If the limiting belief is, my energy is too big to be lovable without having to change who I am, or I am not lovable as I am, then what is the replacement thought for that is I am lovable exactly how I am, that there is a divine perfect mate made perfectly for me. I don't need to have everybody fall in love with me. I just need that one, if that is what you want. If you just want one, you might want three, four, five, whatever number it is that you want. Divine perfect mate, okay? You know, monogamy is not for everybody. It's for me, but it's not for everybody, so I'm not judging. But you have options because they're showing me that there's at least three people in this earth who are a perfect match for you. This whole thing also about soulmates, we often keep hearing that you have this one soulmate. It's a bunch of horse shit. We have many soulmates walking around, and because we have this idea that so many of us have, that there's this only one person that we could be happy with in our lives, it makes us sometimes make bad choices. It's a lack form of thinking. And if you think there's only one, you feel like if I don't get it together, I'm going to miss this one. So I have to bend over backwards and be something other than who I am, or I'm going to miss the one. What if there was 20 or 30 or 100? It would change how we act. It would change our choices. It would change all the ways that we think that we're wrong and we have to fix ourselves physically, emotionally, and otherwise. You know, we have to love ourselves. We have to learn how to love ourselves, or to relearn how to love ourselves, because we were born knowing this and we learned something else somewhere along the way. So Carla, it isn't just a matter of changing your thought and your affirmation, but changing your practice and to look at the ways that people are attracting to you. Because what I'm picking up from you is that you've had so many experiences where people either want to dominate you or aren't enough for you or fall short. But I'm feeling like there's people that are a match for you, but you're kind of missing them a little bit. So for you, my suggestion is to practice observation a little bit more about how people approach you. Because if you're thinking you have to go out and get them, you might be missing the ones who are approaching you. And they may not just be approaching you in the traditional way, showing up at your door with a bouquet of flowers and a box of candy. But look at whose energy is walking towards you, whose energy is walking towards you, who is reaching out, because that's a form of you attracting them. Who is showing up? Who is showing up not just physically but energetically? Because they may, I feel like there's going to be somebody showing up who is not near you. They might be at a distance. They may be in another city. There's a potential romantic partner that I'm seeing who might be in another city. So they literally, like, you might attract them, but because you're not attracting them to be in front of you, you might miss it initially. You're not going to miss your blessing. Let me also be clear, because what's for you is for you. Just like that last spot to speak with me today was for you, you didn't miss that. Other things moved out of your way and other people moved out of your way in order for you to have it. Same thing with this person that's coming. I feel like they're in another city initially. So it may even start off with a work phone call of a routine call that you have to answer for work of someone who's calling from another city or something like that. And that's how the initial conversation or initial meeting happens, where neither one of you is thinking that this is a big romantic thing, but you manage to attract them.
Wow.
So
that makes total sense.
How people show up. Yeah. And it may be different than how they've shown up in the past.
Wow. Yeah, that's exactly
where. I see somebody who's physically bigger than you, tall and broad.
Oh, okay.
And can hold, and like they're very, very grounded. And so they're not. They're neither impressed or intimidated by you. When I say not impressed, it doesn't mean that they're not, they don't think highly of you. But because you have a big energy, there's often people who are impressed by the energy and they're missing who you are as a person because they're so impressed with the big energy, you know? And that's not flattering either. It's like it sounds cute on the outside, but it's like they're not really trying to get to know you because they think they have it figured out already. So this person that's coming isn't impressed by the big energy, but thinks highly of you, meaning that they're interested beyond the superficial, beyond the outer layer, and they're really going to want to get to know you. And it may start off as a friendship or even a working relationship that grows into something else. I don't think this is the person that just walks up to you and starts to, you know, hey baby, let me holler at you. It's not that.
Right.
But that's okay, because you don't really want that anyway. You don't. Other people
no,
don't.
No, I don't.
Right. You're like later for that. But this person is grounded. They know who they are. So your big energy is not intimidating to them, and they can compliment that. This is someone who they don't have a whole lot of words. Not that they don't talk, but they don't. You know, there's people who just run off at the mouth sometimes but never actually say anything. This is the opposite.
Right.
This is someone who speaks when they actually have something to say and is otherwise content with just being present. So it's a good match for you. And I can't wait till this person shows up. Please do let me know. Send me an email or text or something. I can't wait to see how this plays out.
Oh, yeah,
I
will definitely.
Because it could be tomorrow or years. I don't know. I didn't get a message about the timing in this case, but I feel like this person is tall and broad and very, very grounded. Like, this is your rock. This person is your rock.
Wow.
But if you don't like this one, there's at least two other ones that are just as good as a match. But this will be the first one of those three major ones that you'll meet. And if you don't like him or her, whomever, you just keep it moving and the other one will come. There's an abundance of partners for you.
Thank you. Good, compatible partners.
You're welcome.
And I want to add something that it's so funny. Talk about law of attraction. Actually, I was I've been following you for years, Jamila, and I actually went on your website yesterday to reach out to you. And I had no clue that you were going to be on this show. And then this event popped up in my Facebook feed this morning, and I immediately signed up.
And here you are with the last spot, knocking out two people who were in the queue ahead of you. Okay. Let me tell you something. We're laughing, we're ha-ha-ha, and it is funny. But that says to me that you're a woman who manifests, and you can manifest a partner just as easily. But the issue is you didn't have any limiting thoughts about whether you'd be able to speak with me. There was nothing to overcome. you have some limiting thoughts about whether anybody will ever be a real partner to you.
Right.
But it's just easy to manifest. Spirit doesn't discriminate between the big blessings and the little blessings. We do with our limitations. You can manifest this partner as easily as you manifest a parking space or a spot on a radio show.
Right.
All of us can.
You're right.
But we just have to get out our own way.
Right. Thank you so much.
What a beautiful lesson. Oh, I love it. Just a beautiful way to end. Thank you, Carla, for your powerful
manifesting.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Providing this lesson. All right. So, Jamila, we have been off the air for the past 10 minutes.
We did again. Oh, my gosh.
Yep. And you know what? I got a text from the 757 area code, and she said, there must have been something wrong with my volume. I was there. And so, Carla, we just said
that's
Carla.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. So, Tanya, for the part when we go over the actual broadcast time, does that part stay on the recording, or it's just the people who are in the queue who hear it?
It's just the people who are in the queue.
Oh, man, so that last piece is not going to be on the recording?
I know. Isn't that a bummer? Because that was juicy.
That was so juicy, and I feel like a lot of people needed to hear that, but that's okay.
Well, hopefully the folks who are left on the queue, and it's quite a few who are on the queue, they heard it.
Somebody
sure got what they needed.
Yes, yes, I think so. Oh, Tanya, I love you so much, and this is so fun, so, so fun.
Oh, yay. I love you, too. Thank you for coming back a second time. Woo.
Absolutely. Anytime. Anytime. And I'm reading on Facebook all of your many blessings happening right now, all at once.
All at once. Yes, yes.
Abundance of blessings. Yes.
An abundance of blessings, and you know your mom and I have our heads and our hearts together, coming up, brewing up some stuff together too. So
great, it's gonna whatever it is. I know that it's gonna be amazing.
Thank you so much, so much. And so I am hoping in all of my travels to get down to New Orleans to see you, to get some char grilled oysters and some other delicious cuisine.
Come on
so,
down.
I mean, I'm putting it out there. I'm going to take some Carla energy and put that out there.
Absolutely. Well, good for you. And you know, Tanya, you know, you're welcome to stay here. You're welcome to be a guest at my home. You don't have to do the hotel thing unless you want to.
Oh, child, no. Oh, you know, I come stay at Shea Jamila.
Yeah,
Thank you.
All right, my dear. I can't wait to go back and listen to the recording.
Oh,
this is going to be great.
So yummy. So yummy. That's for sure. Thank you. You and everyone else who's still on the line, have a good evening.
Thank you, everyone. Have a fantastic evening. And thank you again, Tanya.
All right. You too. Good night.
All right. Good night.